Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Michael Beller and Derek Van Riper here with you to talk early Week 8 waivers. That's right, we are here recording this episode on Sunday night of Week 7. 49ers and Colts about to kick off the Sunday night game about an hour from now. But we're going to move along and look ahead to Week 8 and try to help you get a head start on your waiver process for your leagues. DVR, how's Sunday treating you, my friend?
Good, relaxing Sunday, just watching football and kind of having like those in and out nap sort of vibes, which is absolutely perfect for a fall Sunday.
Yeah, that is exactly what I think a lot of us want out of our Sundays. Fantasy wins to go along with that as well. And none of these guys that we're talking about likely helped much of anyone in Week 7, but potentially they could help out in Week 8. Let's start with Michael Gallup, DVR. I think we just need to clear the decks on this one. He could return from IR in Week 8. He's been out since Week 1, suffered a calf injury in that season opener against the Buccaneers, and then hasn't played since. So the Cowboys could get him back in Week 8. He has been the subject of some trade rumors as well, so that's something to keep in mind with him. But Michael Gallup is someone who, you know, if he didn't have the injury, we wouldn't be talking about him as a waiver guy. This was someone who was roundly drafted. A lot of people can't just stash someone for 2 months, so you understand why he was dropped. But now's the time to get him back on your brain, because he could be someone who is back in Week 8 and is making an immediate impact in a really strong offense.
Yeah, and I think a lot comes down to the types of games that Dallas finds itself in the next few weeks: at Minnesota, home against Denver, home against Atlanta, road against Kansas City, just looking at the next four. I would say three out of those four games could be reasonably high-scoring games. You need that volume for someone like Gallup to pop if both Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are healthy, and that is the case right now as we look ahead to Week 8. So I'm almost wondering if the trade scenario for Gallup is better for his value, because he might end up in a situation where he's a true number two option in a passing game again if that happens, instead of being more of a fringy like 3A, 3B sort of guy, which is what he is right now in Dallas.
Yeah, and you have to keep in mind Dalton Schultz has emerged as a regular part of Dallas's offense, someone who's startable in fantasy, but the bigger impact as it relates to Gallup is it just takes some more targets off the board. Obviously, we know Zeke Elliott's going to have a big role. Tony Pollard has emerged as someone who commands a large share of touches as well, so there's just a lot of mouths to feed in that Dallas offense, and we know nothing is going on with Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb. They are still going to be the alphas there. So Michael Gallup, an interesting guy. If you're looking for some wide receiver help, he definitely qualifies. And also keep in mind, Dallas had their bye in Week 7, so you won't have to worry about a Michael Gallup bye the rest of the season if he does remain a Cowboy. Probably my favorite wide receiver target on the wire this week. If I was going to say there was a different one, maybe it's Rashad Bateman. He had six more targets in the Week 7 loss to the Bengals. That gives him six targets in both games he's played this season. DVR caught three of them for 80 yards. It just seems safe to say that he's going to have a meaningful role to play in Baltimore's passing game the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's Mark Andrews, it's Marquise Brown, and then it's Rashad Bateman. And I think this Ravens defense has proven to be a bit more leaky than we're accustomed to, which may force them into situations where they have to throw more than they want to. And because of that, a third option does become more sustainable. But Bateman might be more consistent than someone like Marquise Brown from week to week, too, because of the way he's used. Brown is out there for so many of those deep shots. Bateman might be more of that possession type guy they can use in tandem with Andrews from the tight end spot to give their passing game a bit more consistency. This is a guy that looked really good on some pretty mediocre teams in college at Minnesota. He looks every bit the part of someone who's going to be an impact player at the highest level. So I'm definitely in on Bateman. With them being on bye in week 8, you do have to wait a week before you can use him again, but it's easier to stash a player in week 8 than it was in week 7 with so many teams on bye this week. It was really hard to hold a guy like Bateman unless you were actually going to use him.
Yeah, it's a good point. Ravens are on bye in week 8. Just two teams on bye in week 8. The other one, the Las Vegas Raiders, who put together another nice performance and a win over the Eagles on Sunday. Let's talk about a couple of running backs here, DVR. The first one I want to talk about, actually, as of this moment, you and I talking, hasn't had his week 7 game, and that is Rashad Penny. He is going to come off the IR list and make his season debut on Monday night against the Saints. We know that Chris Carson's dealing with this neck injury. Alex Collins going to play as well on Monday, but he's banged up as well. There seems to be the door ever so slightly ajar for Rashad Penny to carve out something of a meaningful role in the Seattle offense.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think it's going to be probably a 2 to 3 week sort of audition for him to prove he deserves something larger, because we're not going to see Chris Carson until I think it's week 10 is the earliest he's able to possibly return. And even that's not a certainty given the diagnosis there. I've said this a few times about Rashad Penny. I mean, because the Seahawks invested a first round pick in him back in 2018, it always feels like they want to give him that chance to succeed. And I think the absence from Carson is the thing that will finally give them a clearer path to make that happen. So my expectations are that he's probably more of like a flex guy, maybe a low end RB2, and we have more teams on bye in future weeks if things go well. But that certainly plays. Those are the types of guys that make a difference. If he can get you 10 to 12 points week in and week out, that's probably an upgrade over who you're using in those spots, especially when rosters get thinned out.
Yeah, and you know, I think they're going to want to give someone some touches. I mean, you go back to last week for this Seahawks team. Alex Collins did get 20 carries in that game against the Steelers, turned that into 101 yards and a touchdown. He was clearly the lead back there, but you had DJ Dallas get 4 carries and 5 targets. Travis Homer stole away a couple of carries and a target as well. So it's not like they have just handed the keys over entirely to Alex Collins, and that was without Rashad Penny in the picture. So I think we could pretty quickly see a scenario in which Collins becomes Carson and Penny becomes Collins. And that would be something that could be, you know, fruitful for Rashad Penny and for fantasy managers who scoop him up, especially with all the buys that we still have ahead of us. And really, I mean, you know, even if you take the buys out of the equation that we just had here in week 7, DVR, it was a rough week at the core, at the running back position, because of all the injuries. So you couple those things together and suddenly someone who you would think of as RB35 or RB38 doesn't look so bad, because with everyone being out, they get bumped up 6 or 7 spots. And so it looks a lot different. Rashad Penny has that going for him already. And then you never really know what the case might be for him. If he just carves out a larger role for himself, if he plays very well with this opportunity, he could possibly vault over Alex Collins and be the primary running back in Seattle. So it's something to watch, and definitely a guy, if you can still do this, if your league still allows you to pick up guys before they have played and you can drop guys that weren't in your starting lineup, think about making a move for Rashad Penny before the Monday night game if he's available in your league, because there's a chance that he will be much, much more expensive after Monday night. Another running back situation we got to talk about here, DVR, is in Philadelphia. Miles Sanders left the Eagles' loss to the Raiders with an ankle injury. He got carted off. Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott handled the bulk of the running back duties the rest of the way. And when I was making this little sheet of guys we were going to talk about for this show, I initially just threw down Boston Scott's name because I just assumed that Gainwell had too high of roster rates to be someone who we talked about. But I went and checked it out, got to do the due diligence, right? And that's just not the case. He is south of 40% rostered on both Yahoo and CBS. So this is someone who could definitely have a big role to play. I mean, Miles Sanders getting carted off, that is not a good thing. Not something you want to see. Gainwell was already making some inroads in this offense, and maybe they turned to him as the primary back here.
Yeah, Gainwell had a TD catch on the opening drive for the Eagles and that loss to the Raiders too. So it's not like he was completely uninvolved when Sanders was healthy. He had a pretty clear pass catching role already. I think he'd have a pretty significant advantage over Scott in terms of how the workloads be distributed, because Boston Scott has been a ghost in this offense. I mean, this is a guy that I think is just a role player. I think you could basically put Boston Scott in the role that Gainwell has been holding with Sanders being healthy, and then just bump Gainwell into the Sanders role. Gainwell could take this job and not give it all back, though, too. That's within the range of outcomes. So you're getting a short-term boost, kind of in that same RB2 flex range that we talked about earlier, with the possibility of someone that could actually stick around and make an impact deep into the season. The next 2 weeks are really favorable matchups. Two teams that have been very generous to opposing running backs, with matchups against the Lions in Week 8 and the Chargers in Week 9. So if I'm looking at Gainwell versus Penny, and in most leagues we'll get a look at Penny before we have to make the call, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up all pushing more of our fab budgets towards Gainwell this week.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. And here's something else to think about. This Philly team, now 2-5, almost certainly not going to be in the playoff mix. Miles Sanders just hasn't been the guy they drafted him to be back in 2019. Kenny Gainwell was a fifth-round pick this year. Maybe they want to take a longer look at him. I think we know who Boston Scott is. And those three guys, Sanders, Gainwell, and Scott, the only running backs on the active roster for this team. They do have a couple of backs on the practice squad, including Jordan Howard. Maybe they go out and bring someone off the street. I wouldn't think of them as a player in a trade for someone like Marlon Mack, who's been rumored to be a possible trade target for some teams. But again, at 2-5, even, I mean, what's Marlon Mack realistically going to cost you in the trade market? A seventh round pick? It's not like it's a prohibitive cost, but 2-5, it would make more sense to me that you would see what you've got in this fifth round back that you already like, that you already had having a big role in your offense right from the jump this season, and see what he can do with a larger role rather than going out and trading for someone like Marlon Mack or trying to make a move like that. So depending on the severity of the Sanders injury, Kenny Gainwell definitely could be the big running back worth going after on fab and on waivers this week. Let's get to a couple more guys here, DVR, before we wrap things up. These are all definitely lower-level guys, not quite at the level of Gallup or Gainwell or Penny or Bateman, any of the guys we've talked about. Do we have to play the Peyton Barber game? Again, Josh Jacobs left the same game, Raiders-Eagles, with a chest injury. Barber wasn't out there for this game, and so we saw the other backs in Vegas handle the larger role of the duties. Kenyon Drake got in the end zone in this game, but we saw earlier this season when Peyton Barber was out, Kenyon Drake's role didn't really change. When Josh Jacobs was out, it was Peyton Barber who was jumping into that role, and Drake basically doing what this team already asks of him every single week. Maybe John Gruden not being there changes things. Is this a game you want to get involved in this week?
I wouldn't go overboard. If you're in a league that uses fab, it's kind of close to a min bid, because Jalen Richard is healthy now, and I think he has some sort of role in what's already a crowded backfield situation. I mean, Kenyon Drake and the usage last time Jacobs was hurt, that was puzzling given what this team gave to Drake in free agency to be what seemed like more than a backup. So I'd be careful. I think things are just a little bit different this time around. You mentioned Gruden not being there, but I do think Jalen Richard's presence also changes how the Raiders are going to manage their personnel in their backfield if Jacobs misses some time.
Yeah, and another team, as we said, on bye in Week 8. So maybe by the time Week 9 rolls around, Josh Jacobs is fine and ready to play. So min bid for sure. We got to talk about him, though, because Peyton Barber, just that guy who will not go away. Russell Gage, with a decent little game for the Falcons in Week 7, made his return to the field after missing a couple of games with injury. Got 6 targets, caught 4 of them for 67 yards and a touchdown. And you know what? Let's group him with Darius Slayton, who took advantage of all the injuries in the Giants receiving core to get 9 targets, catching 5 for 63. These are depth receivers. These are not guys you're ever going to want to lean on as regular starters, but guys who could play a role for you depending on your situation, buys and all that. How do you prioritize them? Like I said, depth receivers, you're not going to go crazy. Would you rather have Gage or Slayton going forward?
I think I'd rather have Gage, even though I think Slayton's the better player, just because the Giants have so many injured players who are going to come back and possibly bumped Slayton to sort of like a 4-5 target per game role. I think there's room for Gage to get a little bit more because he could be the clear-cut number 3 in Atlanta. I guess kind of 4 would be a better description because of Cordarrelle Patterson, but yeah. Obviously you have Ridley, you have Kyle Pitts, you got Patterson. They have to throw a lot. They end up in shootouts. They end up trailing often. The upcoming schedule for the Falcons is pretty good too. Carolina in Week 8 is not an easy matchup, but it's also not one where you'd be afraid to use Gage if you had to. But then they've got the Saints on the road. They got the Cowboys on the road. They have Jacksonville coming up in Week 12. So throughout these weeks when we're going to be shorthanded, there's more than a handful of spots where you'd feel pretty good about Gage as your last receiver in leagues where you have to start 3, especially if you're getting a full point per reception. I think that format especially is one where Gage sort of jumps out to me.
I'm with you there as well. And let's remember, Darius Slayton got this because of all those injuries for the Giants. So when Kenny Golladay comes back, when Sterling Shepard comes back, things are going to look a little bit different for Darius Slayton. All three of those guys, those two and Kadarius Toney, missed the win over the Panthers in Week 7. Finally, let's throw one Patriot into the mix here, Brandon Bolden. The Patriots have been looking for someone to fill the James White role ever since he went on IR, and it looked like Ramondre Stevenson was becoming that guy. He had a big pass-catching game a week ago, and we were starting to let ourselves get a little bit excited about it, and then suddenly, surprise and active, Ramondre Stevenson, Brandon Bolden steps up, 6 catches on 7 targets for 79 yards and a touchdown. Obviously, it was just a wacky game against the Jets where the Patriots ended up scoring 54 points, but do we read this as Bolden now being ahead of Stevenson, or is this just Belichick up to his old tricks?
I think this might just be roster management on game day. Brandon Bolden plays special teams, Ramondre Stevenson doesn't, so I'm wondering if there's something going on with the personnel groups where it made more sense to just use Bolden as that pass catcher for this week. So, yeah, I mean, anybody who could take on the James White function has some appeal in deeper leagues, again, where you're getting a full point per reception, but that's not much to hang your hat on. I know this is a team that won't throw the ball downfield a ton, but I don't like it. I don't expect New England's offense to erupt the way it did against the Jets in Week 7, and even with some scripts coming up where they could be playing from behind, especially in Week 8 against the Chargers, I wouldn't expect Bolden to have anything close to the role that he had against the Jets on Sunday.
Deep league target, you're not going to spend very much to get him even in that scenario. But a guy who, after the game he had and the fact that the Patriots are looking around for, wanted to make sure to touch on him as we get ourselves prepped for these Week 8 waivers. That's going to do it for this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. For Derek Van Riper, I am Michael Beller. We say good luck to those of you who still need some wins out there, who still need some points. We hope you get them, and we'll talk to you soon.